Good morning, everyone. It is 10 a.m. It is May 22nd, 2026. We are here on Appeal 2607. This is a pre-hearing conference ordered by my person, Rajiv Majumdar, the Skagit County Hearing Examiner. And I have received memos from both parties on this matter. I have them in front of me. I also have a exhibit log of approximately 17 exhibits at this point. The last three being number 15 being the PDS pre-hearing memo, followed by the Casco pre-hearing memo. The Casco pre-hearing memo also has three sub-exhibits: a copy of notice and order to pay, a declaration of Brandon Renas, a declaration of Vadim Casco, and we have exhibit 17, a Kevin Crossman declaration filed on or about the 18th of May. Let's see what we got here going on. Okay, that we've dealt with already. Mr. Diavia, let's see, who do we have here from the department?
Jason D'Avion, Civil Deputy Prosecutor for the Department.
And for the appellant?
David Cottingham for the appellant.
Wonderful. Now, Mr. Diavion, I'd also ordered the department to file a declaration as to the timing or receipt of the appeal, because I know in our system we have some limitations. They don't get really stamped in. Do you have anyone? I don't think that was done.
That was not done. We would, first of all, assert that we are not bringing any untimely challenge. There's no issue as to timeliness. And then looking at the documents I had provided of the record had by the department, if I can find it, the one that
I
was
saw that the.
numbered three has the plan report, and it shows in the top right application date 415. And I believe that's the date of filing. That's also the date of the payment of the fees.
Okay. Well, I'll take your word for it as officer of the court. I do see the fee receipt and that date of 4/15, so I'll assume that everything went in on that date. And it doesn't seem to be like it's an issue. We're not the department isn't contesting the timeliness of the appeal. So let me just hold. Give me one more second. I want to make sure I have my right happy document open. Okay, great. Next, the two of you may have noticed that your memos deviate significantly from each other in content, and I'll just be honest, Mr. Cottingham, I had a little bit of trouble following the law appearing applicable in your memo, but I'm going to start with the scope of this appeal. And if I understand correctly, and what it appears to me is that this notice. Get in front of me. The notice, the corrective action order is failure to pay $1,000 a day civil penalties, and a recording fee of non-compliance. Mr. Davion, am I correct? Is that the nature of this notice and order to pay fines that's being contested here?
Yes.
And Mr. Cottingham, is that your understanding as well?
That my understanding is also that by the appeal, the notice is not final.
Oh, okay. All right. Note that the notice is not final. And can you edify me? Like, what does that mean? How should I take that? What does that mean to you?
It means that I found a section that says if you appeal, the notice is not final. And in a normal on a normal day, I'd be able to recite that from memory. So I'll confess right now, I am not I don't have a note as to what section of the county code that
That's
says
not
that.
necessary. I just want to make sure you and Mr. Diavion are on the same, at least scope of intellectual page about what we want to have an argument about. So one, it sounds like Mr. Cottingham, The fact that it wasn't a final notice means what? That your client was not required to pay the fines, or what does that mean to you?
It means that the issues that arise during the appeal of non-finality are still vital.
Oh, you mean the underlying substantive facts behind the notice?
Well, if we were talking about, of course, your order, I want to be super clear. That isn't what I'm saying. Your
Okay.
order. Your order's clear, not just clear enough, your order's clear. But I am saying that while we are engaged in an appeal that has matriculated to the Court of Appeals, that also involves the question whether the county has discretion to divide up the issues and continue litigating through the hearing examiner's office or otherwise. That is not permissible.
Okay. How about this? Let me see if this makes sense to you if I translate that into my own understanding. Was the notice proper and final when there is related litigation ongoing?
I agree that is the issue. That is one of the most vital issues, whether or not there can be competing jurisdiction with the jurisdiction of the Superior Court and the Court of Appeals.
Okay, ongoing in I'm just, other jurisdictions. Okay. And then do you understand, is your client also appealing the fact that it, as this department put it, it was error for the director to issue the notice at all? I guess that's your more specific reason as to why it was improper. Is that correct?
Exactly. And also that there is immense effort underway complying, and it is either obstructed or interfered with or not ascertainable how to comply when baselines include the issues that are already in the Superior Court. But even if they weren't in front of the Superior Court, baseline issues regarding no net loss elevation study are not ascertainable. And when they are not ascertainable, the notice is not proper. The fines are not proper either. PASCOs are complying, but you don't want the facts. I'm not suggesting you should. That's
Additionally, was the notice proper when there were ongoing attempts to remediate the situation? Is that correct?
Yes.
And I would add to that that the county's position is if we were aware and had been communicated to that ongoing efforts to comply with the order to remove the field that this hearing examiner affirmed that was not appealed under LUPA is thus a final decision. If we were aware that there was actual active efforts to comply, we wouldn't have issued the notice. So,
We'll save that for a legal argument if you guys get further into this or whatnot. I just want to make sure I'm writing down scope of appeal so you're both on the same page, and I'll let you guys bolster or attack these statements later on in the process. So this is what I have, my understanding. The big overall question is, was it clear for the director or his designee to issue the April 2nd notice in order to pay fees? And we have two broad areas, two broad scopes. One, was the notice proper and final where there's related litigation ongoing in other jurisdictions? And two, additionally, was the notice proper when there were ongoing attempts to remediate the situation? So that's how I've now taken from your memos. And Mr. D'Avion's memo, the department's memo, laid out laws that were applicable to this matter. Did you have any objection to the laws Mr. D'Avion laid out, Mr. Cottingham?
could I have just a moment? I
Of
gotta refer.
course. Now, I'm not saying this is
Yes.
exclusively the laws applicable, but Mr. D'Avion's in the right ballpark as opposed to county code and procedure regarding this process.
Well, that's one problem because it's a previous county code that is being litigated and existing rights established under that code.
Okay.
So there's another code and it isn't identified and it needs to be.
Is it the same chapter 14?
It's not the same, but it is a chapter 14. It
Yeah,
was the
it is a
previous.
chapter 14. Sure. So we want to know, there's a question about both the current and former chapter 14. I know I'm fairly familiar, not in detail, with the reorganization, but oftentimes it's numerical renumbering and they kind of, just to mess with the hearing examiner, who renumerate, and maybe everyone else involved, renumerated quite a bit that's identical. So what I will do is, well, I'll just keep a little more. If Mr. Cottingham, how much time would you need to come up with a list of what you think the applicable code is? Former code.
Well, more than today, and I
Yeah,
have
how much time?
3 weeks.
Okay.
And let me say that that's because I have a trial that currently is going out for 2 weeks.
And if me and Mr. D'Avion get on the same page before then or anything, I'm fine to hear whatever. We'll figure that out as it comes. And then let's see. Okay, we have finished our pre-hearing conference. Final hearing. Let's pull out calendars. Okay. Mr. D'Avion, how's your summer looking?
Getting busier every day.
Yeah, me too. How about we shoot for people like August the 14th?
This is not a business-like response, but August the 13th is my 50th wedding anniversary, and I'm scared.
Congratulations.
I'm afraid
Congratulations, Mr.
to answer.
Cottingham. That's a huge achievement. 50 years of marriage. What's the secret?
Well, a patient woman is the secret.
And how about August 21st for both of you?
21st fine here.
21st would not work for me. I'll be out of town.
All right. Let's see.
Yes, I'll be out of town.
We have a pre-hearing conference happening on the 28th. Oh, in
I
Concrete
28th.
Northwest. That's
Probably
gonna
won't
be,
work for me either.
yeah, that's it's gonna be a busy day for all of us. Let's look at non-Fridays together. Ms. Herman, Madam Clerk, what are the best non-Friday days where the council's not occupying the chambers?
That I don't know.
Okay. Are Tuesdays generally good? I mean, do we have
so
access to, can we poke our eye, look at a calendar or anything like that?
yeah, let me try. Hold on, one second. August is pretty far out, though, too.
What if we did August 18th, a Tuesday? Would that work for you, Mr. D'Avion?
That would work for me as long as it's in the morning. I do have a meeting 1:30 to 2:30.
I think we have a pretty limited scope, I'm hoping. Mr. Cottingham, would the Tuesday, August 18th work for you?
You have my 100% willingness. I'm only afraid I'm going to get surprised by my wife's plans. But could I just say that if there's any problem, I will in writing request a little extra time.
Well, what I prefer happens is you call Mr. D'Avion first and see if you can get to some adjoint agreement about when you both might be available and a joint request to move it if possible before you write
Exactly.
something
I did read
up.
that in your ordinance or your resolution. Thank you.
That's true. Okay, so I think let me just make sure I have coverage for my other regular standing appointment then. Okay.
And plus, we'll have to make sure that we have coverage with the TVs or with the Candy.
Well, they should be able to do that by this far out, right?
Okay.
Midterm, do you think?
Just
Midterm election.
checking.
That sounds like a, not that I actually make problems for the people I'm very grateful to, but that sounds like a them staffing problem. So let's see. Okay. Well, let's alert them right away after my order comes out. So I'm going to schedule this for Friday, August 18th at 8:30 a.m. In person, and I'm going to issue a briefing schedule on this, which will start in July and give you time working up towards the hearing. And Mr. Cottingham, in 3 weeks from now, or within 3 weeks from now, is going to provide a list of the pertinent former code citations he thinks is applicable. Does that all make sense to you, Mr. Cottingham?
It certainly does. You.
Mr. D'Avion?
Yes, that does.
And have I forgotten anything or need anything else, Mr. D'Avion?
I don't believe so. Thank you, Mr. Examiner.
Mr. Cottingham?
Nothing. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all. I'll get this order out right now to Ms. Herman. And once she makes sure I didn't screw it up royally from her perspective. Oh wait, Ms. Herman, was the hearing room open?
I'm waiting for a reply still.
Oh. Well, I guess this order is tentative upon us getting rejected by the council. And if so, I'll have Ms. Herman circulate an email asking for your availabilities over the summer. We'll pick another date. Thank you both so
Thank
much.
you.
Thank you. We're concluded then.